We would like to discuss with you today, if time permits, the first four chapters of the Songs of Solomon. However, not in the sequence of 1 through 4, but in the sequence of chapter 3, chapters 1 and 2, and then chapters 4. The study of this book, we've been thrilled to realize that it was written especially for us at the end of the age. And I think as we become involved with this, we will see why. The third chapter and the first 5 verses cover the period of time about the time of the cleansing of the sanctuary and the searching of the true brethren for the truth, and when and the time of the return of our Lord. Verses 6 through 11 of chapter 3 begin with the midnight hour and bring us through the harvest to the marriage supper, the wedding of the bride and the bridegroom. Chapter 1 and part of chapter 2 discuss the love affair that we have with our beloved, the bride of Christ. Christ, the bridegroom. Beginning with verse 8 of chapter 2, there's a discussion of the revealment of the signs of his presence to his beloved bridegroom, and the signs of the nearness and the ushering in of the kingdom. And then chapter 4 is sort of like a letter where the bridegroom addresses the bride and speaks the words of love to her. Beginning with chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And while we're going through this, we would like for you to think back at that period of time, the beginning of the time of the end, through the cleansing of the sanctuary, the separation of the sanctuary and the host, 1846, to the midnight hour when the virgins went out to meet him. Now we realize that in principle, these principles would apply throughout the Gospel Age. But I think that as we concern ourselves with this matter, we will realize that it has its focal point at the end of the age. Beginning with verse 1, chapter 3 is describing someone who is seeking after the truth. By night on my bed I saw him whom my soul loveth. The nighttime of the Gospel Age. And this one was seeking after the truth. They were seeking a true love, so to speak. As Paul states in 1 Thessalonians 2, they receive the truth in the love of it. If they have not, they lose it. But it states, I found him not. And wasn't this the condition of the brethren at that time? They were seeking after the Lord. They were seeking after the truth. They were seeking to know His presence, but they found it not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. And in the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. They couldn't find, they went out into the city. They went out into the organizations, the religious organizations, and they couldn't find the Lord there. And so they went outside of the organizations, seeking their beloved. Into different avenues and walks of life, sought they the Lord, but He was not to be found there. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? Yes. They went to the watchmen of the city, and they said, did you see the Lord? Did you see the one whom my soul loves? And the watchmen of the city being Christendom, couldn't answer. The ministers couldn't give them the answer. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. But they finally found Him whom they loved. They finally began to find, outside of organized religion, the Lord. They found Him in their search in the Scriptures. And they brought Him, and they would not let Him go until they had brought Him into their mother's house. Their mother here, the Sarah Covenant. This is the mother of the church. The mother's house, the chamber of her that conceived me, is the holy. This holy condition, this condition of this spiritual relationship with the Lord. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till I please. This is a highly symbolic way of the brethren saying to the daughters of Jerusalem, the daughters of Jerusalem here representing, in this case, the nominal believers, the roes and the hinds of the field, representing the beauty and the strength of everything in life. I charge you by that you stir not up nor awake my love. Or in other words, do not declare His presence before it is time. That's what happened to the church in Thessalonica, wasn't it? They misunderstood the word of God. And they thought Christ was coming ahead of schedule, ahead of the schedule we understand. And Paul had to then write to them again and bring them into focus as to the time frame of the age and the development of the man of sin before the presence would occur. The Millerites went out and announced our Lord's return in 1844 ahead of time. But it wasn't due time. But those faithful brethren clung to the promises, kept searching, and finally realized in due time that the Lord had returned. And when they discovered that, You remember what happened. The faithful and wise steward gathered some of the daughters of Jerusalem, the leaders in the daughters of Jerusalem, into Allegheny and explained to them that the Lord was present. And you know the result. They thought he had rocks in his head. Now the scene changes. The scene changes in verse 6. And this actually is the beginning of the third song of Solomon. If we were numbering the songs, this would be the third song. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powers, all powders of the merchants? Now the prophet is addressing the Lord, the returned Lord. In Joel 2, verses 30 to 32, wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. This seems to be a tie-in with that thought. The frankincense here would represent the praise. The myrrh would represent wisdom, the wisdom of the returned Lord, but myrrh has an additional thought. Myrrh has a sweet fragrance, but it's bitter to taste, and seems to represent the wisdom that is gained through the experience of sacrifice. Smoke here, as we mentioned, would seem to represent the clouds of smoke or the presence of the Lord. Smoke generally in the scriptures symbolically represents the presence of God. And here we have the thought of the presence of God through the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold his bed, which is Solomon. Solomon here representing our returned Lord. Behold his bed, which is Solomon. 70 valiant men are about it, or the valiant of Israel. This represents Solomon here as a type of Christ, and it represents the returned Lord with his associated power. Isaiah 53:12, we read that he shall divide the spoil with the strong. They all hold swords, being expert in war. The sword representing the sword of truth. So expert in war. Yes, all of his spouse are warriors. They are soldiers for the cross. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Or the more proper or correct thought would be that he made himself a throne. And this would relate to the thought of Revelation 11 through 15, where the Revelator states how the kingdom of this world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. He made the pillars thereof of silver, truth, and the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, and the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And the thought here seems to be describing this throne. It involves truth. It involves the divine right of kings, the crown on his head, and the authority of God. It was covered with purple, or royalty, the royal majesty of the returned king. And the thought of paving here has the thought of embroidery work. It was embroidered with bright stones for the daughters of Jerusalem. And the daughters of Jerusalem here, we would suggest, represent those members of the great company class, possibly great company class, we don't know, but those who provided, who were in the system, who provided a lot of the help that we have today, the translation, the concordances, and so on. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown thereof. The daughters of Zion representing the true church. And now the cry is to the true church, go forth, behold the returned Lord. His crown. Remember in Revelation 14 how it stated, there was a crown on his head. He returned as the king. He was crowned. Behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, the Sarah covenant, in the day of his espousal, his wedding, in the day of his wedding. Yes, this is Christ returning now for his wedding, returning now to receive his bride. And the day of gladness is in his heart. Is there any wonder? This is what our Lord's been looking for all through the age. The wedding that the Father had planned for him with his bride. Now we turn our thought to the first chapter. As we mentioned earlier, this chapter now describes this love affair. This love affair that we have, and that all those who follow the Lord have had throughout the age. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon. In 1 Kings 4, 29-34, we are told that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And this is the Song of Songs. Is it any wonder? This is the song to his well-beloved. This is the song to his bride-to-be. Let him kiss me. This is the church speaking. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. That close affection, affectionate communication that we have with Christ is better than wine doctrine. Oft times, that nourishes us more, it does more for us than sound doctrine. It's that personal relationship that we have in our love affair with the Lord. Because of the favor of thy good ointment, thy name is its ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. The good ointment here, we think, would refer to the constituents of the Holy Spirit, as described symbolically in Exodus 30, 23-33. the frankincense, the myrrh, the calamus. Calamus representing knowledge, cinnamon representing understanding, myrrh representing wisdom, and frankincense, praise. These are compounded into the holy anointing oil, and the holy anointing oil represented the Holy Spirit, and those qualities, those constituents represented the qualities of someone who is developed by that Holy Spirit. The virgin's love seat. It takes our mind back to Matthew 25 and the description of the virgins and how they went out. They loved the Lord. They kept oil in their lamps because they did, and they went out to meet him. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. He's brought us into his chambers. We've been drawn by the Father through Christ. John 6:44. He's brought us into his chambers, the holy and the most holy. We've been made to raise up and sit in heavenly places, as Paul states in Ephesians 2:11. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We'll remember thy love more than wine. We will remember thy love, this personal relationship, even more than doctrine. Verse 5. I am black, but comely. I am black, I was drawn out of sin, of a black world, a sinful, degraded condition. But I am comely also, as a new creature now in Christ. I have become acceptable to him, and so I am comely to him. Just as Moses took a black bride for his wife, it typified how Christ took a sinful bride and made them his wife. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. The tents of Kedar were covered with skins, very fitly representing the fallen flesh, but the insides were decorated beautifully. And so that's the way we are. Outwardly sinful, inwardly decorated as new creatures with the character likeness and the fruitages of the Spirit. The curtains of Solomon. The curtains of Solomon were the finest linen that the world has ever produced in history. Righteousness. And fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And so as new creatures, We are in this righteous condition. That linen, the same linen was used in the holy and the most holy of the tabernacle. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Thus the Lord uses the sunlight of the gospel to reveal our imperfections to us. And we cry out, then, cleanse thou me from secret faults, keep back thy servant from presumptive sins. My mother's children were angry with me. The mother's children here would represent those nominal Christians who are still angry with the true follower of the Lord. They made me the keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard have I not kept. When we were in the churches, we had responsibilities. They made us the keeper of the vineyard, but no more. When we came into Christ, when we were accepted into the true vine, the Father was that became our husbandman. He does the pruning. He keeps the vineyard. We don't have to worry about that. Tell me, O thou, verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth. Now this is our Lord speaking. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed the kids beside the shepherd's tent. Here the Lord is saying, if you don't understand, go thy way forth by the footsteps, by the narrow way. The processes of the narrow way. Study his word and understand, and then help feed the young ones, as Paul counseled in 1 Thessalonians 5. And also you remember Peter's experience in John 20, with the resurrected Lord, and he said, "Feed my sheep. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots." Or the Hebrew rendition on this is better, more clear. It is that I have compared thee, I have compared Christ now with a chief horse, a great horse. It isn't plural, it's singular in the Hebrew. Thy cheeks are comely with the rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We think that this is a thought connection back to the jewels on the breastplate of the high priest. And those jewels on the breastplate of the high priest suggested the qualities and characteristics that this Melchizedek order would have. And we think that this is the church recognizing these qualities and characteristics in the Lord. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Or in other words, we also will develop. We will develop into the character likeness of our Lord. While the king sitteth at his table, my sphincter lendeth forth the smell thereof. Remember how he stated in Luke 12 that during this period of time, he would gird himself and he would come forth and serve. He sitteth at his table. But Luke 22, verses 28 through 30, also tells us that someday in the kingdom we'll be sitting with him in his table. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. Or in other words, let's read the whole verse. The bundle of myrrh is my beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. The thought here, as we mentioned, that myrrh is wisdom, but also represents self-sacrifice. The beloved lying all night between our breasts represents a love, an exchange of love, a closeness. And it represents those experiences that we have, that Paul describes in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, when we go to him without the camp bearing his reproach, and we suffer for it, and we return to the Lord, and we have those endearments through his promises, through his reassurances, and we can take consolation in those. And so we pour out our love as a result of sacrifice. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. The women of Engedi use camphor leaves between their breasts. It's sort of a purifying or an aromatic but also a medicinal effect. And this has the thought of the purity poured forth also in the love of the true saints. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Now, this is Jesus talking back to his beloved. He's saying, your ears, your eyes are like dove's eyes. They're tender. They're compassionate. They're understanding. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. He's saying to the church, the church is replying, beloved, also thou art fair, but also our bed is green. Remember how the psalmist stated in 149, verses 5 and 6. We are on these creed beds, going forth. Let me read it for you. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And so we, on these creed beds really of everlasting life now, green representing everlasting, the beams of our heart, our house are cedar, everlasting, and the galleries are of fir. In other words, we have recognized we've come away from those beds that were too short. And now we're on creed beds that recognize the everlasting life that will be given to humanity by this bride and bridegroom. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. As the lily, and this verse 2 is, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. This is Jesus talking. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. In other words, his love is among the daughters of the nominal believer. But also, his love is among the thorns. The thorns of the old fleshly propensity and the trials and experiences that result. As the apple of the tree among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The apple tree here seems to represent a general fruit, not necessarily an apple, but more if we investigate the background, more the thought of an orange, something that is sweet, something that is nutritious, something that is sweet to taste, like we are to Christ or Christ is to us. And then in verse 4 he states, and he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me with love. And isn't that a beautiful description of our position, brethren? He has brought us to the banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. I think we never really realized what true love was until we come into this love relationship with the Lord, until we really began to learn what agape love was all about. We're in the banquet house today that has just drawn us together, the banner of love, the bond of love, and the truth. Stain me with flagons or raisins, another sweet fruit. Comfort me with sweet fruit or apples, or in other words, with sweetness, because I am sick in love. His left hand is under my head, yes, he holds us close to his heart. And his right hand doth embrace us. His right hand representing his power. And with him, one is a majority. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please. Now, the thought changes. And this begins the second song of Solomon in verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. Yes, his return now. And his presence is in the process of destroying the old order. He's leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart, strong, healthy. All power in heaven and earth has been given to him. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, the wall of flesh. And he looketh forth at the windows. The windows, the opening of our minds of understanding, showing himself through the lattice work of the flesh. And that lattice work of the flesh oftentimes causes bias in our understanding of these prophecies. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. Come away. Hear these things from the standpoint of our beloved, the returned Lord. For lo, the winter's past, the rain is over, and is gone. In other words, we're living at the closing of the age and the ushering in of a new order. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. The voice of turtle is heard in our land. Yes, we see the signs of restitution coming all about us. We see the signs of the millennial morning, the day dawning upon us. We're living in the morning, the dawning of our morning. The fig tree putteth forth a green fig, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. In other words, we begin to see now the earthly phase of the kingdom. The nation of Israel bringing forth for life. And also, we see signs and restitution of eventually a resurrection and a restoration of all things, signified by the good smell of the tender grape. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock. That's where we've been hidden, in the cleft of the rock. And he will protect us in this day of trouble. In this day of trouble when he's ushering in the new order. Let me see thy countenance. He's asking us now, let me see thy countenance. And let me hear thy voice. Are you declaring the king is present? Are you sounding out? Are you telling him to Zion, thy king, thy God reigneth? Are you sounding out his presence to the world? He says, let me hear your voice. I hear a dying voice in the church today. But the Lord is saying, let's hear it. Let's tell it out amongst the nations that the Lord is king. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Here the Lord is saying, be careful of those little experiences. Those are the things that will really ruin you. Faithful is he who is faithful in that which is least. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Yes, he makes himself with a common person. And until the day breaks, the millennial age, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains. In other words, rise up in strength. Spend yourself. Declare from the housetop that the Lord is king. Our time is up. We would like to cover the fourth chapter. We'd just like to end with a few verses from chapter 5. Verse 9. What is thy beloved more than any beloved, any other beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? He goes on to describe the beloved. And then he says, His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. May the Lord add his blessing.